This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you have done a phenomenal job.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Now let me throw a couple at you. What's your name?
Don.
Don.
Bang, bang!
Don, you understand what I'm saying?
No, I'm out.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
Huh? Hello? What?
What's up, homies?
Hi, guys.
ENN, which is sponsored by the All-American Ford Auto Group. Shop the largest and best Ford group in the Northeast at allamericanford.net. All-American Ford has the largest selection and best prices with locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant, New Jersey. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
I don't want to step on your thing.
And then we'll say good evening to Don.
How many chances you get?
Well, the Giants lost yesterday.
They sure did.
Let's hear from Eli Manning, shall we? If he expects to be the starter on Sunday?
Yes. You know, I don't know what his status is, so I'm just going to take it one week at a time and you know, just see what the coaches are telling me, find ways to improve and help out the team and try to get a win.
Now, despite the loss, Coach Pat Shurmur says he saw some good things from Eli Manning. Of course, Giants were up 14 points going into the second half and ended up losing 17-3. They did not score again. Saw some interesting tweets earlier today from our very own Jordan Ronan. Quote, Pat Shurmur seemed resigned to his fate on Monday for the first time. Asked if he expects to finish out the season, he replied, yeah, I do. We'll just have to wait and see, won't we? Jordan said, expectations around the league are that Shurmur won't survive this mess, and Gettleman is also in trouble.
I know I sound like the Gettleman apologist.
You're not. You're the whisperer.
I got to give a general manager more than 2 years.
But then you allowed him to hire this bad coach. So the next coach, why do you trust him to hire that coach? And he hasn't certainly done a bang-up job.
So you're telling him, wait a minute. So you're only allowed one coach? A general manager's allowed one coach, and that's it?
Well, let's say the coach doesn't do a good job or gets into trouble, and the general manager is doing a good job, then he deserves to hire another coach. But I don't think you could stagger it. I've seen it not work with the Jets. You've got to be sure you're all in on Gettleman.
But I think it's okay to stagger it as long as it's the general manager that stays and the coach. I don't like it when did it where the coach stays and you bring in another general manager.
But that might happen, because what if Gettleman continues to acquire bad players and make bad deals? And then you're going to get rid of the GM who's going to want his own coach.
But then what you would be saying is he'd bring in the second coach, and let's say the coach does a good job. If the coach is doing a good job, they're winning games, and Gettleman gets to stay. If they continue to lose, well, then the coach isn't good. The general manager's bad. Let them both go.
Do you believe that? And for some reason, you usually don't take the strongest stance on that. You believe that Gettleman's done a good job?
I think he's done a fair job.
Has the fact that they've lost 11 games each of the last 2 years, it's all on Shurmur?
Oh, because again, I'm going under the assumption, and I could be wrong, that a lot of the decisions he made was on an edict from John Mara. I believe that
fired, then he wasn't.
Well, absolutely.
Maybe he got the job because he told Mara we could win.
I believe he drafted Saquon because when he got the job, he was told, I believe Eli can win, guys. Let's bring in a coach that can make Eli better. So they choose Pat Shurmur, who had at least at the time appeared like he had turned around Case Keenum. Draft Barkley because he's going to help Eli. He's going to be a weapon out of the backfield. All right? Remember, they gave a contract extension to Odell and then traded him away. This is a team that was all in on the 2018 season, and it blew up in their face. So now they make an about face. And since then, they're not playing well, but they're rookies. But there's a lot of draft picks on that field. And if you believe that Jones is the future quarterback, Gettleman drafted him. So if Jones progresses, that's going to be a gold star in the category of Gettleman, because he drafted Jones.
If you believe that Sam Darnold is the future quarterback of the Jets, that wasn't any gold star for Mike Maccagnan, who maneuvered up to get Sam Darnold.
So we're going to try to be like the Jets?
No,
no offense to the Jets, but they haven't exactly run their franchise well either.
Okay, but you're saying that the fact that he picked Daniel Jones gives him job security. It didn't for Maccagnan.
It didn't, because they all of a sudden fell in love with Gase, and they let him go. And plus, there was a lot of bad that Maccagnan had, bad communication problems. Again, I could sit here and tell you that if I had to err on a side of whether Gettleman's done a good or a bad job, I'll say bad. But I'm a little bit more patient with general managers. You can't keep changing them every couple of years. You got to let some of – because what if you let them go and all these draft picks that are looking bad now in their rookie year grow to be fabulous players? Don't you have to wait and see? Like, how can we definitively say that these drafts have been poor? He's only had two of them.
Oh, okay. I mean, and the guys that stand out to you are Slayton and Jones. I mean, does Beal look like he's a keeper? DeAndre Baker, does he look like he's a keeper?
Not right now, but
Love looks okay, but.
Right. So but what if they learn and they get, and then next year they get better and they take the next step? Who was the linebacker? Connolly that got hurt. He looked like he was actually playing well.
Do you think that the trade for Leonard Williams was a smart trade?
I don't think so, no.
I mean, they're locked in to give this
right.
guy
now,
a
maybe
five-year,
they will
$50 million deal.
Again, if you're willing to just give a general manager 2 years, Peter, I just think you need to give a little bit more than that.
It's a short amount of time, but he did make a lot. There's a lot of big things that have happened during that short period. Josh McCown is the backup quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles.
And certainly a high school coach.
But how – and he's 40 years old. And how strapped were the Eagles for players last night? Josh McCown was the next wide receiver who would have entered the game. Here's McCown on the situation.
I thought Doug was joking with us when he said that you may have been the next man up at receiver. Telling him you can go?
Oh, yeah, I was ready to go. We had the helmet ready to go. Equipment guys were all over. I had the radio-less helmet so that because you can't have two green dots on the field at the same time. So we were ready to roll. And, shoot, I would get in there and go. You know, that's obviously as a quarterback, you know the offense. I guess it was like 12 years ago in Foxborough. I had to go into it back then.
And
Still beat the Giants. Hey, at some point, you got to win. 9 straight losses, man.
He's the first Giant coach ever in history to lose 11 straight, at least 11 straight in 2 straight years, ever. And the Giants have had awful teams, ever.
I mean, 11 losses.
11 losses. Yeah. What did I say?
You said 11 straight.
11
which
losses.
Might end up being the case.
Yeah.
Right, but 11 losses in 2 straight years. Well, Yankees fans, it is official. Didi Gregorius is a Philadelphia Philly. He has agreed to a 1-year, $14 million deal at the MLB winter meetings. He'll be joining the Phillies for at least 2019 or 2020. What year's coming up?
2020.
2020.
Well, the fact that he signed a 1-year deal confirms to me the Yankees did not want him, because that is a no-risk proposition to sign him to a 1-year deal. What he's trying to do is reestablish his value coming off a subpar year. So $14 million for a starting shortstop does not seem like that much. I think it's a great signing for the Phillies, and I think it's also a sign that the Yankees did not want him, because a 1-year deal would be the perfect deal to bring him back. And also hearing rumors that the Dellin Betances, who is represented by the same agent as DD, also would be willing to sign a 1-year deal to reestablish his value, and hearing rumors that that deal could be with Tampa Bay. So the Yankees will never be outbid by Tampa Bay. If they let Dellin Betances go and he's only seeking a 1-year deal, then they don't want him. So Yankee fans shouldn't go crazy that they lost these guys. If these guys sign 1-year deals somewhere else, the Yankees didn't want him.
I was struck by the same thing. 1 year.
1 year is not a risk.
Yankees don't lose players. They choose not to bring them back. Right?
Right.
Pretty much.
And if Tampa Bay can afford him, well, they know Dellin's medicals better than anybody, the Yankees. Is the shoulder injury resolved? Because at the end, he ended up getting hurt with the Achilles. And how long is it going to take for him to be totally effective? If they don't bring this guy back, they have to know something that they don't like. Or maybe they do bring him back and take a flyer on him. But, I mean, he was probably damaged the most by injury this year. This guy would have gotten one of the biggest free agent reliever contracts ever. That's how good he was. He made the All-Star game 4 years in a row. He was a stud. But he got hurt, and he pitched to 2 batters all year and struck him out.
The New York Yankees have reportedly offered Gerrit Cole a contract worth more than the 7 years, $245 million, that was doled out to Steven Strasburg by the Nationals on Monday. Not clear exactly what the offer is, but reportedly had interest from the Angels and the Dodgers, and the Yankees laid it all on the line to try to get Cole.
I think the Yankees are going to be strategic. I don't think that there's a line in the sand that they will draw per se, but I don't think they're going to go. I don't think they're going to say, okay, here's $45 million. If the Angels want to get silly, they get silly. And as Don said earlier, and I think it's a good point, the only team that would acquire him that would make the Yankees nervous would be the Astros. Because the Astros right now are the team that's in their way to get to the World Series. If they bring back Cole, they remain that team, no matter what sanctions are put up against them. They'll still remain that team. And I don't think that anything will be done in terms of a punishment to the Astros where they would not be allowed to play in the playoffs next year.
Right, and I don't think that'll happen either. But you got to say that there's got to be a point where, you know, even the richest people in the world don't just throw any amount of money at something. They put a price tag on it, and if it gets exceeded. But I just would be worried about the Angels, all right? Angels are a team that could see value in just making the playoffs because they've got this crown jewel in Trout. He's played in the postseason once in his career.
Got swept.
And they need to get into the postseason and the exposure. All right, Yankees know they're going to the playoffs. They want him for a championship. But the Angels, if they go to the playoffs like every other year during the course of Cole's contract and don't win, they're still going to be satisfied with that contract. And the Dodgers, who are also in the same boat the Yankees are, where they know they're going to make the playoffs, but they want to win a championship. All right? They've been the best team in the National League now for half a decade and have not won a championship. Haven't won one now in over 30 years. 1988 was their last championship, mm-hmm. believe it or not. So, and that's some pretty stiff competition because those pockets are deep.
No, it's going to be interesting winter, and it has been so far. And
it's not even winter.
I want to see what Cole's going to get because all the fear and all the kind of static that took place last year, nothing happened. I remember I did the show from Vegas,
and
we just did a regular talk show. There was nothing. There was nothing that happened.
Nothing. Something significant happened.
Which is what?
And it really hasn't been big this year at all because I'm trying to gain some traction. But born from the winter meetings was IcePix.
That's a loss
to the Penguins, where you and John Heyman lost money on my pick.
Yep.
But that's where IcePix was born, and it made a lot of people money last year. Not so much this year, but hey, Brian's got heat because of IcePix.
Because you had heat last year.
That's right.
Maybe there'll be an IcePix today.
Also, Alex Lee just tweeted out something very interesting. If you go to Google Maps to find Buffalo Wild Wings, it shows you where Buffalo Wild Wings is on the map, and underneath it says K-Show Holiday Party, December 13th.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's on Google Maps?
Yeah.
Also, a lot of people love the video I just posted on Rosenberg Radio.
Yeah, which Michael doesn't even know existed.
No, I actually retweeted it, so why don't you shut up?
You saw the video?
Well, you didn't know it was happening when it happened.
Well, I didn't care.
Well, because you can't hear. It's not that you didn't care, it's you can't hear.
What do you mean? I went to get tea. I wasn't even in the room.
What video are you talking about?
The video of you pitching.
No, I didn't see that. No. I'm not even referring to that. I'm referring to the video of Don trying to get your attention, and you have the headphones on and can't hear what he's saying.
Well, these are noise-canceling headphones.
But Michael, I was screaming.
It doesn't matter. They're noise-canceling headphones.
But you also don't have a sense. Like, you would make an awful quarterback. You can't sense the rush.
Listen. I'd be awful at everything but except what I do.
No, and GM of a baseball team.
I would be unbelievable at that. If I took over a really bad team, they'd be in the World Series within 2 years.
They're showing it up on Yes, Michael.
Well, you don't know what I'm saying. What were you trying to get? What were you trying to tell me?
I was like, Michael! Michael! And then I said the Yankees blank. It still didn't turn.
Because these are noise canceling.
But I was trying to tell you. I don't remember what I was trying to tell. Oh, I was trying to tell you what Engelbert Humperdinck's real name was.
You know what's funny about you, though? And I've had the same argument with Jody.
Oh, no.
Would you? I mean, let's say that I don't hear well. That's an ailment. Would you make fun of me if I had polio? If I'm limping out of here? Hey, Michael, look, you're limping. You're polio.
Well,
if I can't hear.
I got to tell you something.
I love that you go straight to polio.
I got to tell you, there's a couple of things here. I completely agree with you because Nancy does the same thing to me. Which I think is awful.
Right.
Because, you're trying to think that I don't want to hear you?
Right.
But it's different in this case because why do you feel like you have to have the headphone? Think about how insulted we should be, Peter, that during the commercial break, while he's looking at Twitter on his phone, that he needs noise-canceling headphones just in case I want to speak to him.
But as I said earlier, I don't need to hear your talk show off the air. So that's why I keep the headphones on. I hear enough of you all
day. And that's not supposed to be insulting.
No.
It's supposed to be fact.
Well, what about Peter?
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
And apparently Nancy agrees with you. Apparently I've been talking too much about the Irishman. So when
have
we
you
were
even watched out? It? Oh, yeah, you watched it
Yeah,
on
I watched
plane.
It in Vegas. It was unbelievable.
You're a big fan.
Well, I think it's Scorsese's masterpiece. And I don't think he's going to make anything after.
You think better than Goodfellas
it is
and Casino?
I think so. But anyway.
Strong. You didn't like it?
I haven't seen it. I don't have 3.5 hours.
But here's the You make time for this.
No, I don't have 3.5 hours.
But apparently I've been talking about it too much at home to Nancy because when we were doing the Don show, she said, oh, they didn't call it the Irishman Don show. So I guess I'm really boring her.
Do you realize one thing, that she's so tired of your act? She's got to put up with it longer than any of us. She's so tired of your act. She's got to take care of twins. And then your act just, it doesn't excite her anymore.
And here's the thing with the twins, seriously, and maybe you go through it too. Like, whatever patience level Jody had for you, did you feel that when the kids came, that patience level is gone from like,
the patience goes to the kid.
Her patience for me was like from a 0 to 100 was like at a 10 before the twins. Now it's like 0.
Wow.
Same for you? Is
not
Jody at zero?
No.
But it's down from before.
But see, when I'm at home, I don't do the mic show. I hardly ever talk. You probably are prattling along. You never shut up.
We have audio of Don at home.
Well, really?
Eli would never do an interview with GQ. Just talking about, like, to get the peanuts again.
It's hockey, man. I wish you loved the sport like
this.
This
is all I do at home.
How's your mom?
I said hello. This is me at home.
Jalen, hockey.
Marco, hockey.
Michael?
Michael.
K?
Show.
Show.
Genius.
That's not how I work at all.
When was that? What was that?
The only thing that Nancy has going for today is that because there's a Ranger game on the West Coast, Don stays here and does the pregame. She'll be sleeping by the time he gets home.
I do well.
I'm hungry. That's awesome.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
I want a bite.
I have Gucci arm hair as well.
It's funny how we've got Michael, who's got his thing. You know, Peter doesn't say anything interesting at all. I apparently bore people to death. And yet the three of us Hostile make for the number one show in New York. How does that work?
You familiar with the work of David Blow?
I'm not going to go there.
Go ahead. Why not?
No, come on.
It's the holiday.
No, I don't
it's
want
to. One boss is in Turks and Caicos. The other one's under sedation.
No.
Sedation.
I'll leave it alone.
No.
Le'Veon Bell bowling gate rages on.
Why?
Because Le'Veon was scratched from Sunday's game against the Dolphins.
Do you believe he has his own shoes, or he wore shoes that he got at Boonton Lane?
I think he has his own shoes.
So he doesn't have shoes the number 13 on the back?
No, when you hear what Le'Veon bowled, you know this is a man who has his own shoes. Le'Veon was asked about if he was surprised that there's such a hubbub around the fact that he went bowling at a public alley the same weekend he was scratched from playing.
Oh, yeah, I am, for real. The bigger surprise, I rolled 251 off the flu. That's the bigger surprise. Career high. That's my career high. 251 off the sickness. 238. Yeah, 251.
No 7-10 splits.
Nah, no, thank goodness.
No bowling. I know the number of the pins and where they are.
Well, but the only split anyone knows is 7-10 split.
It's amazing how I mean, really.
Wait for it.
Glauber is going to get all the phlegm he can up from his lungs and just spit it right in the Don's face.
There's no way he would spit on me.
Why do you think Glauber would go spit right in Don's face?
Because
why not take a swing? Why not man up and take a swing?
Because then that's assault.
So I think spinning on something.
No, but it's sketchy. You're going to have to prove it in court.
I think they're both assault, and one just is frowned
down. You know what? I don't know.
The other. I think you'd have more respect from people if you get punched than get spit on.
It affects him negatively if he spits on Don LeGrand.
I don't think so. I think it affects Don. I think Don loses his mind.
I don't think Bob would have a problem. He's got a sense of humor. He's a good guy.
Well, listen,
he's outstanding at what he does. Name a better football writer. There's a bunch of ties, because I'm not going to disrespect other people, but he's outstanding.
Yeah, well, he made fun of him about a 7-10 split.
Adam Gase was on the show earlier. We asked him about the Le'Veon bowling scandal.
It is what it is. I'd rather him not do that. I mean, obviously, it looks bad on him. You know, I mean, it's just something that I wish he didn't do, but it happened. You know, we got to worry about the Ravens right now.
So is there that line of, well, he didn't really violate any rules, but it's something that bothers you. So would you deal with that differently than you would if a rule was broken?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm looking at it from his perspective of, it's probably not the best look for him.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, I'd just rather him be at home getting better, coming off the flu.
Will he be disciplined, or is this something that doesn't warrant discipline?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how I'd discipline somebody that we weren't allowed to, you know, bring to the hotel or the game because he was contagious. So, I mean, we told him to stay home.
So there you have it.
Do you think that when he goes bowling, he has one of those shirts with the name and script? Does it say Lev or Le'Veon?
Or Bell?
No, I think it says Bell.
I think Le'Veon.
Not Lev. Have you ever had one of those bowling shirts? They're beautiful.
With my name on it?
Yeah.
No.
I bowled in leagues, but I never had a shirt.
You bowled in leagues.
Oh, yeah. You bowled in leagues?
Why does that not surprise me? One iota.
Well, you look like you'd bowl in leagues, but I didn't know you did.
Well, this is going back. You remember the story when, like, I was down and out. I lost the football game. I had no money. My dad said, come work at PSC&G. I've told that story before. Yeah. That's the turn. I said, no, I want to make this sports thing work. He's like, give it up. That was coming off of bowling a game in a league. I was in a summer league when I was real young, and then up until, like, my mid-20s, I would bowl in leagues. I love bowling. What's the matter with bowling?
What were you bowling?
What was I bowling? Where? T-bowl in Hamburg Turnpike.
Did you actually play for a team called Clixies? Like on the
I don't know what we named our
and
team.
What did you roll, though? Like, what was your average?
Budweiser Nips over Gypsy
Pond.
Like
behind
like Clixies. 280, 185, 190. When I was bowling all the time, I was pretty good.
You were throwing down turkeys on the reg?
Oh, I once opened a game with 7 straight strikes. My knees were knocking in the 8th frame because I'm thinking I might be able to bowl a perfect game. That was the 224.
Choker.
John Fornino, the Stark brothers. They were
John Fornino and the Stark brothers were there?
That was our team.
You.
Can you imagine the fun?
Fornino and the Stark
and
brothers.
And their cousin Tim.
Now, real quick, after the game ended, would you guys just go directly and knock over a liquor store or would you, you know, go break up first?
No, Don would go to the bar at the bowling alley.
And they'd leave.
No. They would all crowd around and he would list the 100 best movies of all time.
Gladiator is 34, 35 is Titanic, another overrated movie. From Here to Eternity, 36.
You hear that? You hear that munching?
Yeah.
That's one of the Stark brothers.
Yeah, and mozzarella sticks.
No, we might get a beer at the bar.
Sure.
Budweiser Nips over at Gypsy Pond behind Clixies.
His life is, it's a great American dream.
It really is. Rolling with the Stark Brothers.
Yeah.
The name of his third book. Crazy moment yesterday.
Where?
Well, you know what? I'll let the story tell itself.
103 to 103. Rose. Down to 5 seconds. Rose. Gotta get something going. Spinning.
Got him.
Game time.
Game time.
Oh my gosh!
Was that a Maloney? That was one of the worst Maloneys I've ever heard.
That's from 97.1, The Ticket in Detroit, as the Pistons get the win over New Orleans. Derrick Rose bearing the game winner. Oh my gosh!
Was that a radio call?
It sounded like it. That's a radio call.
Okay, so if I'm the head of the radio station, the analyst gets called in the next day and said, "You're fired. You can't come back."
First step.
You don't even give him a chance?
For stepping on the play-by-play like that.
I'm not stepping. He trampled.
Let's hear it. How bad it was here.
103 to 103. Rose. Down to 5 seconds. Rose. Got to get something going. Spinning.
Got him.
Game time.
Game time.
Yeah.
Other than the overmodulation, because you clearly hear that the mic, just because he was so loud. I think that's a great call. It shows a lot of emotion, fun. Come on. It's a regular season game.
He says,
not the Super Bowl.
Hold on. He says got him before the shot even goes up.
No.
Hack.
He goes, got him.
No. I think he meant got him, meaning he got his look.
He was calling the shot. Called the shot.
You think he was in when he said got him?
No, I think he's calling the shot.
He's calling the shot.
Because it
makes it even better then. Derek, now he's predicting the future. Love it. Love the call. Just the overmodulation. I could do it out. That's on the engineer. On the engineer.
But first he goes got him. And then while the guy's trying to make the final call, he's just going game time. He's talking trash on the sideline.
You think that if let's say you're driving along 8 Mile in Detroit.
Wow.
All right.
Sure.
Heading into the city along 8 Mile with all those lights, and you're listening to the radio. Do you know what's going on here? Play it again.
103 to 103. Rose. Down to 5 seconds. Rose. Got to get something going. Spinning.
Got him.
Game time.
Game time.
You know, we might need that second game time as a drop permanently on the show.
You won the game. You know your team just won.
You have no idea what happened.
I have a figure that Rose hit a shot.
That's what you want. You want to give them a clue.
Andrew, help me out here because you're the one person that kind of agrees with me with this. Would you be happy that your team won, or boy, he really ruined this
That's
moment
not
for
the
me?
Question. Sure would you is. Know what happened?
Well, he clearly hit a shot at the buzzer. They're celebrating.
But do you think it's a good call?
No, not particularly. But mainly because the mic is overmodulated, not quite as much because of that.
And you're going to blame the poor engineer, but the guy's screaming at a level that he shouldn't be screaming.
Hey, I got watching.
Sometimes you scream when you're calling a basketball game. They got to be prepared for that.
All right, Bill Belichick.
If I overmodulate, I'm not blaming myself. I'm blaming the engineer.
Can't wait for vacation.
Bill Belichick
Show's too good for you.
Talking about the Patriots and their Spygate sequel, and talked about how the Patriots have tried to be careful to not make mistakes like this since Spygate.
Look, we're competitive, and we'll try to be competitive in every area, but I mean, we don't knowingly, intentionally want to do anything that's across the line. But since that's happened, I'd say we've tried to keep a good distance behind the line and not maybe take it as far as we would might have in the past. But I mean, it's never really fundamentally changed there.
Boy, that's not.
I mean, he did everything but kind of admit.
That was so iffy.
Let me translate.
I mean, listen, we do the best we can not to cheat. If you call it cheating, we don't call it cheating.
You know what? Because of their past, they don't get the benefit of the doubt.
No.
But you would think he'd shut it down. He didn't shut it down. He just admitted, well, we still danced near the line. We're still going to push the envelope. Maybe not as much as we used to, but it didn't make you feel comfortable. Didn't make him sound innocent.
One of the greatest disgraces of all time, if they, in fact, were trying to cheat, to beat the Bengals. Really?
My favorite part of the story still is that the guy who was caught was wearing a Patriots shirt.
Right. And said, my name is Lou.
Hey, I'm here to pay attention, just watch the game, nothing going on with me, no spy, this camera's a personal camera.
You know what's weird, though? They keep saying it's a freelance photographer.
Yeah, it's just me and my camera. I just have to take pictures. I'm working for an old Football Digest, here to get some old photos.
I didn't know the Patriots were in the production business of documentaries.
Yes. It's a documentary for Football Digest. We're doing a special on the scout for the Patriots. What's that scout's name? Scouting McGee. We're gonna get a video of Scouting McGee.
And if you've got a videotape, there's apparently 8 minutes of their sideline that was taped. You're doing that against Cincinnati. You're doing it against everybody you've ever coached against.
You know what? Talking that way reminded me of Scoops Callahan. Let's go back in time when Scoops was talking to Bill Belichick.
James, talk about your B-town offense in the second half. They treated the boys from Big D like a couple of flapper girls who were a little loopy on the old gin and juice.
Next.
Hey, Bill.
By the way, join me, Peter Rosenberg, this Saturday, December 14th. That's this Saturday, right? So if you can't make it out to our big party in Jersey, and you're a city dweller like me, you can come out Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. for Fight Night with Peter Rosenberg at Versa, a rooftop and restaurant experience like no other. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to go see the Terrence Crawford fight that night, do a live show, hang out, all before the top-ranked night of boxing, main evented by Terrence Bud Crawford. It's all down the street from the Garden at Versa, 218 West 35th Street, this Saturday night, 7 to 9 p.m. We'll see you there. That will do it for And
just announced our guy Bob Ashusen is going to call the Las Vegas Bowl for ABC.
Really?
December 21st.
You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see you and Bob in a room together, locked.
Fist fighting.
No, they would fist fight over who would talk the most. Also, a little known fact about the before fight thing that Peter's doing Saturday. Mm-hmm. Someone in the audience at Versa will be allowed to punch Peter right in the face right at the end of the show.
Is that true?
That's what I'm hearing.
I've not heard we arrange that giveaway.
Shouldn't I let Peter know that?
No, well, you know what? Sometimes he might not have agreed. It's going to be fun times for everybody. Stay tuned beginning at 10 p.m. on 10:50 a.m. for the ChevyOffers.com New York Rangers pregame show. Brought to you by your local Chevy dealers. Check out their award-winning lineup. Find your closest dealer at ChevyOffers.com.
Hey, if he's listening, this might get Ray back in the fold. Because I would think Ray from North Carolina might want to take advantage of that opportunity.
That's a great
point. That's what I'm saying.
Lindsay Adler of The Athletic tweeting out that Brian Cashman talking about Gerrit Cole. We're a strong participant. And they say he couldn't say much about any of their free agent pursuits, but admitted that they had engaged Gerrit Cole about, quote, joining our band of merry men. So that's the latest as Brian Cashman meeting with the media. 1-800-919-3776, giving away Seinfeld tickets before we go off the air. Congratulations to Glenn Steinberg, who won the Jet tickets, and Seinfeld tickets coming up as well. Kayla Greco, Rosenberg, and you on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.